Rejoice always. I say it again, rejoice. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I received a message from one of my former parishioners a little earlier this week, a mother of young children. And she sent me a picture, a text message of a letter that her little boy named Kevin wrote to Santa. I'll share that with you. It's quite funny. She began the letter, "Dear Santa, I've been very, very good this year, but I don't know how much longer I can last. Please hurry. Sincerely, your friend, Kevin." A cute little boy. A cute little boy. "Please hurry. I don't know how long I can last." How much longer can we last? That's the question that's being asked here within our gospel. How much longer can we last? St. John the Baptist, which Deacon Marvin read about in the gospel, was living among a people who, as he was baptizing there in the middle of the desert, who were asking that same question. Remember, they were suffering in that first century under persecution of the Romans, and they didn't know how much longer they could bear it. They said, when is it that the Messiah is going to come? When is the one who's supposed to set all of Israel free, who's going to be our salvation? How much longer can we last without him? They thought maybe it was John the Baptist. Maybe he was the Messiah. And quickly, we see it in the gospel there that John says, "Nuh-uh, it's not me. You got to look for somebody else." John said it wasn't me, but even later on in Luke, what he says is, "I'm going to baptize you with water. That's what I'm doing here. But the one who's going to come after me, he's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit." You in the first row are getting ready for that, right? For confirmation. Getting ready to receive that fire and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is, what did he say later on in Luke? He says this. He says, "I have come so that I can cast fire upon the earth. And oh, how I wish it was already ablaze, already on fire." In our modern world, we don't really think a whole lot about fire, right? We're not worried about it. We saw Deacon how he lit that candle over there with the help of some of our parishioners to be able to light that candle of joy. We lit these candles here on the altar with just a little clicker here. There's a young man, I won't tell you who he is, but after and before every practice that we have for Knights of the Altar, he goes back to those candles that you all have lit for prayers and he blows them out. And then he one by one lights them again with our little lighter, one by one, just doing it until the lighter ceases to work. So we got to get a lot of new lighters because of that. We're not worried about fire in our lives. We have it in our heaters. We have it in our gas stoves, electric stoves. We have fire everywhere. But in the Middle Eastern culture, and especially in the ancient cultures, fire was everything. If you lost your fire, you weren't able to cook. You weren't able to purify things. You weren't able to really survive without fire. You weren't able to stay warm on cold nights. So fire was very important. What they would do is they would always, no matter how hot or how cold it was, they would always keep a little ember, a little fire, a little coal burning there within their hearth. In fact, so important was the fire that if they were going away on a long journey or going away on a trip, they would take that hearth, they'd take that ember from the hearth, put it in a stone pot and nourish it as they kept it with them wherever it was that they traveled, so they could take that ember with them so that wherever they went, they had fire. Jesus came for a similar reason. Jesus, when he looked around in the world, and he is God, so he sees everything all at once. He looked around and he saw there wasn't fire. There wasn't fire on the earth, the fire of God's love. The Holy Spirit's fire had been quenched on the earth, extinguished, because people had turned away from the truth. They had turned away from God. They had forgotten about his love for them. Jesus came to reignite that flame. Not just in an external way, as you see in your Bible studies when you go through the book of Exodus and see that column of flame that led the people of Israel throughout that 40 years of wandering during their nights. He came to put a fire within the soul of every human person. That's begun at baptism. That's reignited and re-inflamed within the sacrament of confirmation. God wants that fire to be burning and for it to be ablaze. But you see, there's a difference between John the Baptist and between Jesus Christ. There's a difference between the baptism which John gave us and the baptism which Jesus gave us. You see, the baptism that John gave us was just an exterior sign of a person's desire for repentance. But Jesus' baptism actually gave full 100% forgiveness of God. Jesus' baptism also ignited a flame, a fire within the soul of the person who's baptized. This is what we call sanctifying grace. Grace that brings us towards salvation. It lights the fire within us, and that sanctifying grace, really what that is the indwelling of the Spirit of God within our lives. The Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you've gone through our classes on baptism, you know that inside the soul of every baptized person lies Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How we don't have to launch our prayers up to heaven some way. We can just talk to God because He's here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live within the soul of the baptized, and He never leaves them unless the person casts them out of their lives through committing mortal sin. He stays with them forever. And that's a great grace. Remember what it is that St. Paul spoke about in his writings. He says, what? Do you not know that you yourselves are the temple of the living God? That the living God lives within you as baptized persons? I think that if we realize that, if we recognize that truth, then we wouldn't let that ember of the fire of God's love burn out in our lives. We'd care for it and keep it safe within our souls. But how do we care for that ember of God's love within our lives? His love within our souls. You know, St. Paul tells us in the second reading, which Christa Chiara gave for us. That second reading, what does it say from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? It says this. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do you ever want to know what the will of God is for you? Want to know what it is that God is going to do for you in your life, the direction He wants to lead you in? A lot of struggle with that, especially when we're in our formative years preparing to see what it is that I'm supposed to do with my life. Well, here it is. It's this. Rejoice. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks to God in every circumstance. That's the will of God for you. And this is why, because a grateful heart is a praying heart, which is a rejoicing heart, a heart that knows joy. But what's joy? Joy, sometimes we confuse it with something like mere happiness, mere pleasure that comes and goes, that is high one moment and is low in the next. But that's not joy. Joy is something that perdures forever, that remains a constant in our lives, no matter what's going on in the exterior, whatever is going on within our emotions. Joy really is this. It's the result of knowing that you and I are unmistakably and unchangeably loved by God. That's what it is. That we're loved by God even though we make mistakes, even though sometimes we bring a hurt into other people's lives, especially those we love most. Even when we sin and sin badly, God still loves us. And when we have the knowledge of that love, we are ignited with the fire of joy within our lives. In fact, our faces know about the love that exists and burns within our souls. You know, that's why a dear friend of mine, I call her a friend of mine, she's a saint. All the saints, I believe, are our friends, right? Well, that's why Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who I've spoken to you about, who's a more joy-filled person than her? When you look upon her face, you can see that joy radiating through that wrinkled face of hers. I've got it here before you so you can look at it. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she says this, and I've shared it with you many times before, but she says, when you know how deeply it is that you are loved, protected, cared for by God, you can't but spend the rest of your life radiating that same love out of your very person. Because joy can't be contained. Joy shines through our faces. When you see somebody who's a joyful person, you know it because you can see it in their faces. But the problem is that when you look at Christians, when you look at Catholics, oftentimes we're gloomy. We have closed faces, clenched fists. Instead of actually being the chosen people that God has called us to be, instead we become like the frozen people. I'm not talking about that frozen, that Elsa, that ice queen that all the little girls are excited about. I've seen that movie too. The frozen people, because we're frozen, we don't let the fire of God's love and His joy exude from our very persons. The soul, brothers and sisters, can be seen through our faces. And people can know whether we have the fire of the Holy Spirit burning within our lives, whether we've accepted Him truly into our lives and really allowed Him to form us just by looking at us. Because joy always shines through, no matter what darkness is going on outside. Question: have we lost our joy? Have we lost the fire of the Holy Spirit within our lives? Have we allowed that fire to grow cold? Maybe it's done that because we're not praying. What does St. Paul say? St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, pray without ceasing. That sounds like a daunting task, doesn't it? How do we pray without ceasing? Well, it's simple. Praying without ceasing is simple as this. It's just acknowledging that God's with you always. That God doesn't leave your presence, that He's always accessible. That's how we pray without ceasing. So whatever is going on in our lives, we can have a personal conversation, share that thing with Him. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. It's constant communication with God. Recognize that God, Jesus Christ, was thirsting to become man in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He also thirsted from the cross to be able to wash away our sins and to bring us salvation. And today, He thirsts for us now, for us to receive Him at this barandal, at this altar rail, in Holy Communion, so that He can remain not just around us, but inside of us. But after we receive Him, we just walk out those doors. Do we forget Him? Do we just begin, when we leave those doors, to begin thinking about things like the world thinks about them and forget that God is so close to us? We got to take Jesus with us everywhere it is that we go within our world, because our Catholic faith, the Catholic faith which brings souls to salvation, will only be known, loved, and embraced here in Santa Rosa if people can see our joy, the joy which radiates out from us in the darkest situations. Joy isn't a pleasure which comes and goes. Joy is living in that knowledge that God loves us no matter what, that He cares for us no matter what's going on in our lives, in the good times and in the bad. And even in the midst of sin, God always wants to show us that forgiveness and renew that within us. That's why He's given us the grace of the confessional that so many of you are crowding around right now. Oh, the wish that so many of you would crowd around it to receive the forgiveness that lies within there. That's why we're going to have that penance service tomorrow at 5:30 p.m., where no matter what sins, no matter how long it's been that you've been away, you can always go and reignite that joy within your lives, knowing the love of God and letting it shine through you. You see, when we know that we're loved, when we know that we are forgiven, then we can have that abiding joy no matter what's going on within our lives. St. Paul said this, and this is the words with which we began this Mass, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. He said, rejoice always. I say it again, rejoice. But then he says, why? Why do we rejoice? He says, because the Lord is near. The Lord is near to us. And if the Lord is near to us, that's a reason for rejoicing. God is always near to us. In fact, He's within us, within the soul of every person who's baptized, and He never leaves a soul that doesn't first leave Him through mortal sin. And yet, even when the soul leaves Him because of that, He always invites the soul back, tries to coax the soul back to forgiveness through the confessional. Because it's only when we go to confession that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that whatever sin there is, it's been wiped away, blotted out from existence. We know that it can never be brought against us again. That's the great grace that our Lord wants to get us, to really let us rekindle that fire of joy within our souls when we're truly forgiven. How do we retain joy in the midst of trials? You know, I think about a man. A long time ago, there was a man who was a cabbie in New York by the name of Percival Bryan. Maybe you've heard about him. An amazing individual. He was just a poor immigrant from Jamaica who started running a cab. But he was a very honest man and always joy-filled, full of joy. He would take many people in his cab rides all throughout his life, presidents from other countries. He would take famous people and even just regular folk. They would always pile into his car. And one of the interesting things about him was that when you went into his cab, he always invited you to sign his guest book. Imagine that. Have you ever been in a cab where a cabbie just has you sign in a guest book like you would in a hotel or when you go to a museum? He asked you to sign the guest book. Amazing. You know, this man was such a great man that every time that he did that, somebody would sign that guest book and it writes something about the experience that they had. Well, there was one time when he was giving a cab ride, he told the story of as soon as the men jumped in there, they robbed him, took all his money. And as he was carrying them on that road to their destination, the people who robbed him gave him all that money back because they couldn't believe how joyful he was. So he just gave everything back to him. That's how amazing and contagious this man's joy was. One day, at the end of his career, there was a reporter who interviewed him, heard about this guy, and wanted to find out. So he turned to him and said, "Percy, why is it that you're so joyful? What is it that's different about you that nobody else seems to have?" This Jamaican immigrant, Percy, thought about it and he said, "Well, I'm not a rich man, but I'm a very blessed man. Every day I get down on my knees before I go to work, I thank God. I thank God. And there I ask Him. I ask my Lord to anoint my ears so that I can listen to my cabbies. I ask my God to anoint my lips so that I never speak a discouraging word. I begin the day by saying, 'God, just ride along with me in my cab. Go with me where I go. And I want to go where you go.'" Isn't that a beautiful thing? A beautiful grace that he has. And do you know that Percy, his books, his guest books that he has have actually been taken from him and placed within the Smithsonian Museum, so they're preserved for all time. The reason is because this man's joy, Percy's joy, was so impactful in the lives of so many people, famous and regular people, that he's become a part of our national patrimony. Joy is a part of our national patrimony. This man, Percy, knew that God loved him. He knew that God was going to protect him, and even if he was robbed, that God was going to make everything turn out all right. He had a joy that always existed. That's the kind of joy that you and I are supposed to have, knowing, loving, and recognizing the forgiveness that God wants to give us. Jesus said what? "I have come to cast fire on the earth, and oh, how I wish it were already ablaze within our souls." Have we allowed that fire to grow cold within our lives? Have we lost our sense of joy? If we've done so, then pray. Then pray that God would reignite the fire of love within your soul. That go to confession. The confession is right there. And we're going to have at 5:30 tomorrow, we're going to have three priests who are going to be here to hear our confessions, to restore us to that joy that God wants to get. No matter what sin we could have forgiven, could have done there, God is going to forgive it if we give it to Him. Ask for that forgiveness and then you're going to know His joy. Jesus said one. He said, "Ask and you shall receive." He said, "Seek and you shall find." He said, "Knock and the door will be opened to you." Because everyone who asks receives. Because everyone who seeks finds. Because for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened to them. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask Him for those gifts. And our Lord wants to give us the fruits of His Spirit, which He bestowed upon us in baptism, especially joy. For many of us, that has remained dormant, because we don't use them or because we let sin crowd those things out. God wants to renew that within us. What's the will of God for you? It's this: to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to in all circumstances give thanks, because that's the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. We can always rejoice because the Lord is near. He actually is dwelling in the midst of our soul, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'll close with our solemn response, the Magnificat, the beautiful hymn of the Blessed Virgin Mary. What did she say? She said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He's looked with favor on His lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham, his children forever. Rejoice always, brethren. I'll say it again. Rejoice. The Lord is very near. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.